I'm Vice President of Communications with the Campaign for Black Male Achievement. I'm excited for today's call. We have a monthly call each month for the campaign to discuss and create opportunities from leaders and from the field, what Sean likes to call our hometown heroes, to talk about the work that's taking place on the ground throughout the country as it relates to black male achievement. This year, as we close out 2016 and this month, we want to put a special focus on health and healing. We know 2016 for a number of folks has not been an easy year. We also know that a lot of folks are looking forward to 2017. In order to get 2017 started on the right foot, we wanted to close out the year with a conversation about how we take care of ourselves, how we reflect, and use this moment of a transition into a new season. As we know, we're upon the winter solstice, and each season brings with it a time for reflection, a time for change, a time for opportunity for us to look forward to the things that we want to do. It's also time to plant new seeds. And so I'm excited for this call, and I want to introduce our moderator, Dr. Phyllis Hubbard, who's with the Campaign for Black Male Achievement and also leads her project Radiant Health Strategy. She works with us and has been guiding our health and healing strategies work that we've been able to lead, which is in partnership with and support from the California Endowment. And so I'm going to pass it over to Phyllis, but before we do so, we just want to thank her again for her leadership, for this call that we brought together on short notice, because we know so many people in the field and so many people doing this work are looking for ways to rekindle their spirit during this holiday season and lead into the new year. So, Phyllis, I'm going to pass it over to you. And, again, thank everyone for joining today's call. Without you, we would not be able to do this work. Thank you.
Conference thank muted.
Thank you so much, Rashid. I'm so excited that you all are able to join us on the call. We have some wonderful people lined up who will share their version of health and healing as well, because I think that's a very broad term, health and healing. There's so many ways that we can heal in our body, minds, emotions, and spirit. And so I'm going to just jump right in. I'm so, so excited that Brandon Nicholson is able to join us in on the call. Brandon Nicholson is the executive director of the Hidden Genius Project. And the Hidden Genius Project out of Oakland, California, trains and mentors black male youth in technology creation, entrepreneurship, and leadership skills to transform their lives and communities. And you can learn more about their work at hiddengeniusproject.org. But Brandon and I have shared many insightful conversations, some of which are available as video interviews and newsletter articles that you'll find on the CBMA website down the line and on social media. But one of the reasons why I continually engage Brandon in what seems to be an endless discourse about self-empowerment is because of his dedication to an active engagement in his own self-care. So, Brandon, are you there?
I am.
All right, Brandon, thanks so much for joining in on the call. And, you know, you and I have had a lot of conversations about self-care and infusing that into our work and how we take care of ourselves. And I just want to thank you for being so willing. Every time I call, you know, I run up against Brandon with a video camera. I'm like, let's get that on video because that was good stuff. So I really appreciate your willingness to engage me whenever I ask. Would you share with our members how stress management serves your leadership?
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity, and good morning and good afternoon to those of you on the East Coast and the Midwest. My name is Brandon Nicholson. I'm Executive Director of the Hidden Genius Project, and thank you to Dr. Phil for so kindly reciting and accurately reciting our mission statement, which is really important to us. Very fortunate to be in this role as the founding Executive Director for our organization, and we were volunteer-driven for our first 2 to 3 years or so, and I came on to kind of build the infrastructure, which, and I think that's important to note, I think, because then that I also points to stresses at multiple levels, being certainly the executive director and also trying to build. There's the stress of the, I think, the unknown, and the stress of being the kind of the central figure and the fulcrum for the operations of the organization, and of course then the just fundamental stress that comes with having that level of dedication, commitment to the work, and trying to make sure that the young people we serve are well taken care of, and also that our team is well taken care of. And so I think it has to start absolutely with me in terms of modeling care. And it doesn't mean that I do everything perfectly, first and foremost. Let me just say I don't think I got invited on this call because I was the picture of all the best healing health practices. I think the best thing I can do is just be mindful and cognizant of what it is that I'm doing, and know that, you know, I'm making choices, and Dr. Phil and I talk about this all the time, that there are choices that I make, one of which is, you know, just as I get going and get in the groove, like start my day early and going, you know, I don't just get very hungry at midday, right? So I often find myself having skipped lunch, and I've tried to do better a little bit about having some healthy snacks nearby, you know, some trail mix and the like, you know, but something that simple. I know for me, it's, you know, I feel good. I feel like I can push through, and I feel productive, so I go forward. But, you know, for every instance of that, I think I just need to be mindful of the choice I'm making and understand what choice I'm backing it up with later on. So that has meant for me that I've had to be more cognizant of, you know, what it is that I'm eating and doing, you know, later in the day, you know, as I finally sit down for that meal, for dinner, whatever it is. It means that I'm that much more cognizant about, you know, just watching kind of intake on things. And then, of course, for me, I need, you know, practices, two in particular that I think have been really important to me, one throughout my life and another particularly this year. So I think the one throughout my life has been my own Buddhist practice and being able to pray, you know, morning and evening and center myself. And the best thing about my Buddhist practice and chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, I think a lot of people assume it's because, you know, I can feel a sense of serenity or peace as it relates to meditation. But more than that, it actually is a way for me to just reflect on me and try and model whatever it is that I need to see outside of me internally first. Mm-hmm. And it also means that when I'm seeing things outside of me that don't align with what I would expect or hope, I have to take a look at me and figure out why that might not be there and start there.
Yeah.
And all of us as human beings, you know, we go ahead.
No, I love what you're saying. But there's something that you said on the video that we did together that I wanted you to speak to, which is right where you're talking about now, which is talking about, you know, the conditions out there versus what's going on inside. And so can you just expand a little bit upon that?
Sure. I think, you know, when we spoke in the video, a lot of that came about because of the election. You know, people felt extremely hurt, frustrated, angry, and wanted, you know, felt inclined to point fingers, and rightfully so. I think that having been said, you know, all of the challenges and behaviors we've seen in people leading into that process, into the election and after it, you know, I think at our very core, as human beings, we all possess some of those innate tendencies, right? It's just a matter of, do we bring them to bear, or do we bring them to bear when someone cuts us off on the road? Do we bring them to bear when somebody calls us out our name or our mama out her name? Or do we bring them to bear when, you know, we're at the house and with our loved ones and our significant others or our kids? So we have those tendencies. So for me, you know, understanding what it is in the environment, what might have led people, you know, hope, fear, despair, or lack of hope, I should say, despair, frustration, anger, you know, albeit in a structurally and systemically racist frame in many ways and sexist, so on and so forth, it was still, I think, fundamentally, there are components or elements there that I possess within me. So when I'm praying every day, you know, I have to really be thinking about, how do I bring forth my best self? How do I really attack those tendencies that I think, you know, cause us to act the fool, and sometimes act the fool systemically, or even elect the fool for president? You know, what can I challenge in my life to model that and bring that to bear to actually have a greater impact in my community? And so I sat there. And then the other practice, I would say it's just been important for me to be real faithful, you know, to the exercise. If I know I might be skipping that meal, you know, I got to be real faithful to, with myself and honest with myself about how I keep, you know, my exercise together and try and, you know, find ways to give the body what it needs, but then find ways to make sure the body's processing that too. And so it's been really important for me to carve out time and be creative and try, you know, try different times and not be married to any one routine, because we know, actually, ironically, it's great to have a routine. Sometimes, though, when it breaks, that can be the end. So with me, one way I've been able to sustain all that, particularly this past year, is not beat myself up. You know, if I miss a Thursday morning, well, what is Thursday afternoon or evening offer? What is Friday morning offer? You know, I don't need to be married to the same routine and be worried that I broke it, but just try and create a new routine.
I love that. Yeah, see, that's one of the reasons why I love talking with you and having you share your strategies with us, because what you're talking about is really what health and healing is all about. It's the awareness. I kept hearing you talk about awareness, being aware of what's going on. Okay, I didn't get my exercise in now. Can I figure it out another way? It's going to be a really busy day. Can I find a way to get some healthy food, and being strategic about it, you know, thinking ahead and being aware of your body in the process, and that helps you become a great leader, because great leaders need to be around long enough to mentor others, correct? So thank you so much, Brandon, for sharing. I know you had to jump off the call soon, so I wanted to make sure we gave you an opportunity to speak. So thank you so much for joining, and remember that if you want to learn more about the Hidden Genius Project, you can check them out at www.hiddengeniusproject.org, and you'll also be able to check out the videos on the CBMA webpage on Facebook and also on blackmaleachievement.org. So thanks again, Brandon.
Thank you all. Have a great day.
Thank you. So I want to do a quick check-in to see Denise Jim Tinney on the line.
Yes, I am.
All right. I'm so excited. Okay, so I'll try not to take up too much time talking about how much I love Gene Tinney. But let me first give you a little bit of a background. I met him, actually I met his wife when I was studying, when I was a student in college, and really my exchange with her really taught me a lot about not giving up, because at the time I had lost my job and couldn't figure out how to pay for college, and she found a scholarship for me, and I never paid for another semester after that. So I always think about her and Jean and what they mean to me as mentors. So Denise Zulu Jean Tinney is a New York-born, Miami-based visual artist, semi-retired educator, writer, independent researcher, and community activist in historic preservation and cultural affairs. His formal academic background, which also includes a Fulbright scholarship, is in foreign languages, literature, and linguistics. He's a co-director of Dos Domingos Fair Rosamond Slave Ship Replica Project, which is aimed at constructing a full-scale, seagoing international traveling museum, educational resource center, and ancestral memorial shrine to represent the story of the Middle Passage from the core, complete African world perspective. And I could go on and on, amazing, amazing artist. But I want to spend a little bit of time talking to him about something that is really important in terms of our own health and healing strategies as a people. So Denise Zulu, for those who are not aware of what's been going on, would you please share a brief synopsis of what's been happening with Standing Rock?
Sure. And before doing that, you know, let me just go through the formality of thanking you and also thanking Brother Brandon. Excellent insights that you just shared. I'm reminded of all those teachings that remind us that our worst enemies are within ourselves, you know, that's what we have to work on. Standing Rock, and I'll preface it by, you know, saying something that's going to sound maybe wildly outrageous, but as much as we are going through with this recent questionable, surreal election, I would respectfully submit that it is secondary in importance to what's happening at Standing Rock as far as the future and the destiny of this country goes. Essentially, Standing Rock is one of the largest, quote-unquote, Indian reservations. That's a term we can go off on, you know. But it's in mostly South Dakota. The northern tip of it is in North Dakota, right near a place called Cannonball, where the Cannonball River meets the Missouri River. And essentially what's been going on there is a protest going back to, oh my goodness, at least the summer, to oppose the Dakota Access oil pipeline. This is a project, naturally, you know, one of these multi-billion-dollar projects to move oil from western North Dakota to the Illinois region, where it would connect to other pipelines. So we have all those issues with fossil fuels and all that, but mainly the native people and their friends and allies are saying, you know, you can't build that right through our sacred lands and water supply and, you know, going under the Missouri River. You know, and even though the company says, oh, we have all the safeguards in place, I mean, you know, they've had accidents already. And just to add to the drama, the people of Bismarck, the capital of North Dakota, which is, I think, about 40 miles from Standing Rock, they refused to have it go near them because it would threaten their drinking water supply. So to move it from them and put it closer to the Native American reservation, well, you can see that there's some obvious, you know, prejudice and environmental justice issues there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The more
Absolutely.
Important thing, though, is that, and this is why I'm saying it's as important as it is that it's a protest against a pipeline, but it's much more a demonstration in favor of a much more sane way of living with the rest of nature, with ourselves, with one another. And so it's this affirmation of I might be butchering the pronunciation, but, you know, the Lakota people have this phrase, Meshakiowasin, and what it means, it's like we're all related, or all my relations. And many, you know, prayers and meetings end with, you know, Aho Meshakiowasin, you know, thank you, all my relations. And what it's acknowledging is we give thanks to, you know, the rocks, the grass, the trees, the bugs, the birds, the animals. All of us are here. All of us belong here. All of us are interdependent. And we really have to have that awareness. You know, you'll see, you know, Native American elders and our, I mean, you know, much of what they are sharing in this way is so almost, you know, exactly the same as other traditions, certainly our traditional African, you know, traditions, East Africa, West Africa, where we have to live essentially in harmony, you know, with, you know, the rest of nature. So that, for example, you know, we get away from this whole idea of everything and everyone simply being a resource. You don't just cut down. When you cut a tree down, there's a whole community that has, you know, plants that have grown up around the base of that tree and near the tree, and all of them that depend, they all work together. And when we're not sensitive to that, and we just, you know, well, you know, we go after what's profitable monetarily. We are, you know, just obviously, you know, missing the boat, so to speak. So what makes that protest, even though it doesn't get the media coverage, so important. I mean, this coming right from the heart of what we call Turtle Island, North America, is a kind of a bold assertion that we are no longer going to live the way we have been living, just mindlessly and wastefully, and more importantly, you know, more proactively, more positively, that we get back to living in, you know, harmonious ways. And get back is kind of a misleading way to put it, because it makes it sound like we want to go back to a past that we imagined. But no, it's going forward with the wisdom that our ancestors had. And
right.
The fact that they were joined. Now, what happened, with the back to the kind of the question of the status of things, the pipeline is on hold right now. The Army basically, they were going to evict everybody, I think, 2 or 3 Mondays ago, and at least 2,300, I think it was more like 3,200 veterans who, you know, they took the vow when they signed up. They said, we're going to defend our country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And with that, they went there to essentially, you know, not armed to fight the police, who were really completely militarized there. I mean, you had police officers using rubber bullets, water cannons, sound weapons,
mm-hmm.
tear gas, a concussion grenade. Hello, this is 2016. This is, what are we doing here?
True.
I mean,
what are we doing?
What,
see, you're talking about.
Yeah, go ahead.
And you're talking about, again, what Brandon is saying, just this awareness and our connection with nature. And we know that, you know, even in our own past, that Native Americans have stood by and helped protect us, even slaves that were trying to escape, you know. So I think this connection to nature is one of the things that we have lost. And I love that you bring that, you tie that in, because I believe the exact same thing. This is a really important issue for us to think about as leaders. We can't let it go by without raising our awareness and standing in solidarity. And I see that standing in solidarity with Native Americans and other indigenous cultures as a health and healing strategy. And it sounds like that's what you're saying as well, because it does strengthen our
absolutely community. Right. And it does tie right into, I'm glad you brought up the, you know, just the alliance of, you know, like the Seminoles mm-hmm. here in Florida that were, you know, black and red. I mean, you know, a lot of the Native people today, you know, refer to the first and the forced, you know, the first people here
right.
and those who were forced to be here as just being, mm-hmm. you know, naturally allied. And I think that ties so much in to what our young black men have to learn. I had a interesting, you know, one of those just right on the ground where we live. We're fortunate enough to have another house 2 doors down that I use as my art studio. And some of the younger guys would congregate in that area, have kind of their street parties and things. And, you know, in the morning, I mean, there's just cans, bottles, you know. So I had to have the conversation. And, you know, maybe the typical way to go about that was, you know, this is my property. You know, you got no maid service here to be cleaning up behind you. You got to.
Right.
But, you know, I said, but, you know, I we could do that, but. You know, we have to remember who we are. We are African people. This is Mother Earth. This is you. You don't disrespect. This is something. And you know, I kind of, you know, told them even how, you know, in traditional Africa, I mean, you know, you had all these initiation rites where, you know, your first lovemaking was to the earth, and just to let you grow up into manhood, knowing that relationship is, you know, I mean, without that, you're not here. And,
right.
you know, they got
I think
that.
And I'm glad that they did receive it. I know I don't want to, I want to make sure that we have time to talk a little bit to Ademu and the
Absolutely.
Others. But I love what you, because, you know, you can see now everyone that's listening, I could sit at the foot and listen to Denis Zulu talk all day. Because I love it. But thank you so much for helping to make that connection, because it's that connection to nature that is really important. I think we miss that, and I often find a lot of Black folks afraid of being in nature. And so thank you so much for joining in. I know you had some other issues come up.
Thank you. I really wish I could stay on, because, I mean, this is starting off so good. I'd love to hear, you know, the rest of the call, but
we're recording the call.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
excellent.
We're recording the call. So, you can catch it later. Thank you.
Okay. Everybody, keep up the good, and God bless, and, you know, wonderful holidays and New Year.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Well, I'm going to jump in here briefly and share some health and healing strategies for creating an extraordinary New Year. So I wrote an article which I call Health and Healing Strategies for an Extraordinary Year, and that's going to be sent out to everyone on our email list, and it will also be posted on our website at blackmaleachievement.org. And so I just want to share a few highlights from the article. You know, our current celebrations of Christmas, including celebrating the birth of Christ, are actually based on the winter solstice. And Brother Rashid talked a little bit about the solstice at the beginning of the call. So I want to go into it just a little bit and explain that the winter solstice is a very powerful time of the year. It's been written off as a pagan ritual, but it's actually something that happens every single year. And if you think about how plants grow in nature, how everything grows in nature, right? A seed needs to be surrounded by soil in complete darkness. And that darkness offers the seed the proper environment for a transformation to occur, which induces the seed's potential and allows it to evolve and grow. Without that environment, it doesn't happen. And so the same can be said for the seed that you decide to plant during this very powerful time of year. And so the winter solstice occurs on December 21st, but the energy around the solstice is very strong right now all the way through to the 24th of December. And during this time, the Earth's movement, this is pure science, the Earth's movement towards light stops for about 4 days. On the fifth day, the light of the world is reborn, and hence we celebrate the birth of Jesus on December 25th, even though Jesus was technically, you know, known to be born sometime in October. So this message has been lost in the midst of our mad shopping rushes and sometimes even food and alcohol binges and family drama and all of that stuff. But there's something deeper that's going on from a spiritual perspective, and the winter solstice is the optimal time for spiritual rejuvenation, growth, and revitalization. So what we choose to do during the winter solstice will be magnified, good or bad, because the environment is perfect to nurture whatever seeds we plant at that time. So my suggestion and my hope is that we will look at what physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual seeds will we choose to plant right now. And so the article that I wrote talks about tapping into your power and in inducing the extraordinary from within yourself. And one of the ways that you can do that is by choosing a practice that helps you engage in your own self-care. So I'm going to mention a few, and then the rest of them you can find in the article. The article also has links to videos that you can practice and all of that, but I'll just mention a few for the sake of time. I would say that practicing silence is probably the most challenging way to tap into your power, because a lot of people aren't used to silence, but I highly recommend it, being still and practicing silence. Those of you that are students of the Bible know a very famous passage, "Be still and know that I'm God," right? Really important. So my suggestion is to not speak at all for a day or maybe 2 days during the solstice. And a lot of people will say, well, I have kids and I can't. And I have tried it under every scenario. You can do it. Even if you have to practice sign language, there's something very powerful about going within and being quiet. So that is a strategy. Another strategy is to practice what I call the radiant breath awareness exercise. And I put a video on YouTube, which you can find at www.bit.ly /ourbreath. That will also be in the article. And it's basically a breathing exercise where you breathe in for about 4 seconds, hold your breath for about 4 seconds, and then you breathe out for 4 seconds, and then hold your breath again for 4 seconds. And it's a way of practicing a rhythmic breath to increase the oxygen, and then over time you increase the seconds until you can go up to about 7 seconds. So you can learn all about that in the article and also in the video. And then the other thing I want to mention before I move on to edema is to learn how to objectively analyze yourself without being judgmental. I think this is really important. Review what is working in your life and look at how you can expand your perceptions. I was just spending time with family, and it was so funny that there were so many family members that say, well, this is just the way I do it. And I'm thinking to myself, that's why you're ill, because you've been doing this the same way and not willing to look at something else. But we all need to continually grow. There are two types of rivers. There's a stagnant river, and then there's a river that flows. Which one is healthy? It's the one that flows. You can't stay the same. You have to continually evolve and grow, still being who you are, but just bringing out the best of yourself. And then the other aspect of that is to review what is not working in your life. Look at actions that no longer serve you, foods that no longer serve you, people and relationships that you need to shift, expand upon, or let go of. So that's really important. And so be sure to check out the article for other. I gave you about 8 or 9 different ways that you can nourish yourself during the solstice. I would just end by saying that when we breathe, going back to breathing and increasing the oxygen that you have in the body, when you breathe air into your lungs, you're also breathing in solar energy, which includes radio, ultraviolet, infrared, gamma rays, and much more. We get the entire spectrum of energy. We're not just breathing in oxygen. And that oxygen and energy is carried to every part of our body. And we notice that when we get stressed, oftentimes we stop breathing, right? So we're cutting off our bodies. We're cutting off the energy as well as the oxygen from our body. So it's something to think about. So the question that I'd like to leave you with is, what if we celebrated the holidays with mindfulness and a fresh vibrancy? Many of us go on into machine mode, regurgitating the same rote actions every year as if we're on autopilot. But what if for just one holiday we flipped the script? And what if we took this time to get more connected to the truest part of ourselves? And if we find that idea to be impossible, do we have the courage to ask why we feel that way? And are we willing to challenge past perceptions? So this year, I'm encouraging everyone to be a creative pioneer in the grand scheme of things, really. What is 4 days of concentrated health and healing practices out of your entire life? And so I just wanted to share a little bit for context. Again, there'll be more in the article. But I'd like to shift now and move to edema. And, you know, we often say that CBMA has a history of making history. And I'm so thrilled to announce that for the first time ever, CBMA will produce its own health and healing podcast for the field of Black male achievement. And I've been developing this podcast with Edema Madwin, also known as Wolf Hawk Jaguar. And he is an educator, a filmmaker, and a musician. Edema has produced films and music in both the United States and in various countries in Africa. He works with the Oakland Unified School District and has done so for over 5 years as an educator and a youth counselor. He also facilitates the Determination Men's Group, which is a men of color achievement circle at United Roots in Oakland, which directly trains youth in media and music production. And I recently wrote a song called Journey to Radiance to match our podcast, which is also called Journey to Radiance. And Edema worked with me to produce the song, which he just turned into something amazing. And it is a health and healing anthem that was commissioned by CBMA for the field of Black male achievement. I chose him also to be the host of the podcast, and I'm excited to report that our first podcast, the pilot episode, is going to drop this week. I just heard it, so as soon as we get it configured, we're going to send it out there. So, Edema, are you there?
I'm here. Blessings and now. Give thanks.
All right, Wolf Hawk Jaguar. Ha-ha. So happy to talk with you. So from your perspective, what is the Journey to Radiance podcast all about?
Okay, well, first off, foremost, we give thanks and praise for the opportunity to be here. Thank you so much, Dr. Phyllis, and the Campaign for Black Male Achievement. It's definitely been a wonderful morning out here in Oakland, California, listening to the previous speakers and just really being able to be in communion with like minds, with people that are doing their best to rescue our brothers and sisters out here and to promote peace, prosperity, and positive vibes and upper mobility for all of us. The Journey to Radiance is a wonderful project that not only includes a podcast, but also includes a webisode. Basically, Journey to Radiance, what is your journey? What is it that is taking you towards your radiance? What is it that you are learning on your journey? What is it that you're able to give back? Because we know that the true learning is one that is reciprocal. You know, not only can we teach others, but we also have the ability to learn. And so when we talk about Journey to Radiance, it's really just shedding a lot of light on the wonderful people that are in the field of black male achievement, those that are black males that are achieving. And for myself, just, you know, you mentioned a little bit about Determination, the men's group. And I just want to really say it's a black men's group. It's not a group of a men's group of color, but actually a black men's group, which I think is so very important, so that we can start healing ourselves. You know, sometimes we need to be by ourselves to speak about what's going on with us and to provide the necessary answers and healing strategies and techniques that will enable us to do that. So coming from that arena of facilitating the black men's group and really bringing in brothers and trying to transform them, you know, using peace, prosperity, positive progressive vibes, using the healing power of culture to bring our brothers and sisters back from the world of self-doubt and self-hate, you know, to give them the lessons that we've learned on our journey, but to also hear the lessons that they've learned on their journey. And so in Journey to Radiance, we'll bring people in, we'll speak about what's going on in their world of black male achievement, and we allow them to speak with the guides that we have on the show, which are yourself, Dr. Phyllis, the Reverend Alfonso Wyatt, and the good brother Kenneth Winfrey, to speak with these individuals and to not speak to them from the standpoint of this is what you should do, I'm hearing what you're saying, and I think this is what you should try, but really from the standpoint of I'm hearing you, and I just got a piece of jewelry from you that I can use on my own journey. You know, really that reciprocal way of learning. And we call that passing water. And so I know speaking with Dr. Phyllis, we're talking about just the act of running a marathon or a race. And when you see these marathons and these races being run, you always see these wonderful people on the sideline that are there not only cheering the people on, but giving them bottles of water so they can continue on their journey. So really the symbolic form of giving water is two people passing each other on their own journeys to radiance and being able to stop and give each other water, saying, hey, this is what I have to give you, and I'm open to receive what you have to give me. So I think it's a wonderful idea and a wonderful opportunity for us to not only learn from each other, but to also give to each other and use different techniques and strategies in the forms that we work in regards to black male achievement.
Wonderful, wonderful. See, that's why the moment I met you, I knew you were the host of the show, and now everyone can see why. I couldn't even have said it better, and I created the concept. So thank you, Adimu. So can you just for just 1 minute about episode one, the pilot episode? Just give us a little teaser about, you know, who's on the podcast and a little bit about what we tried to accomplish there.
Okay, well, the first episode is a wonderful opportunity to experience and to hear about a event called Rumble, Young Man Rumble. The sixth annual one was just held at the Muhammad Ali Center in Louisville, Kentucky, put on by the Campaign for Black Male Achievement. This was my first opportunity to attend it, and I can say that the love, the sharing, the brotherhood, the communal spirit that came out of that was you know, very, I was very surprised, you know, just being somebody, I kind of fancy myself more as a foot soldier. You know, the person is kind of always, I tell people I sleep on the floor so I can keep my ear to the street, because the work that I do kind of really directly involves people coming off the street level. And my job is really a transformative healer to kind of bring people in from that world of self-doubt and self-hate and see if we can transform them into healers, because what we found out is some of the best people to heal are people that have healed themselves. And so coming from that arena and being able to showcase that with our first guest that we had, DeMario Lewis, a wonderful young brother out of Oakland, California, that's really maybe 4 years into making that transformation from going to somebody that's the street level to somebody that's now healing. And this was done over, you know, about a 4 or 5 year period of him just being in the Determination Black Men's Group, of him coming to grips with who he is, where he comes from, him coming to grips with the poisons that have infected his life and have led him down roads that weren't productive for his upward mobility, and coming to a point where he said, you know what, I have to leave that alone and I have to come into a world now where I can look after my son, where I can learn how to love the mother of my child, where I can learn to forgive my mother for what has happened within our family, where I can learn to forgive my father, where I can learn to start loving my community and looking at it kind of like how the brother was saying, you know, we have to really give reverence to nature and to community, and we can't pollute it. You know, we pollute our own community, whether it's through selling drugs, whether it's through the hate we give to our women or to our brothers, our husbands, our fathers, just really coming to a point where we say, you know what, I at least have to be the change that I want to see, and let me start living in a different light. And so DeMario Lewis kind of epitomizes the person that has done that. So we really wanted to start off this first episode really, like they say, coming from the bottom up, you know. So from the bottom, who are some of the people that are on the street that have recently made that transformation? And what is it that we can learn from them, you know, from hearing the story? You know, this is somebody that is directly connected to a lot of the murders. As you'll hear on the first episode, this young brother was almost not going to go to Rumble, Young Man Rumble, because four people he knew just died within really a 24-hour period. Three of those people were murdered within a 10-hour period. We had a street war going on here in Oakland. And that happens a lot of places. You know, one of the things that we were able to do when we got to Louisville, Kentucky, we was able to go out into the community and sit with a lot of the brothers and a lot of the sisters and to hear from them that, hey, there's a war going on here in Louisville, Kentucky also, you know. And we've lost this amount of people. And it was weird because we started noticing that there's a lot of commonalities, such as some of the guns that were being brought into the community that were being used places so far away. Like, how do we get access to these militarized weapons? So we're talking to DeMario, somebody who has a lot of knowledge about that and has experienced that firsthand, and just his journey to coming to a point where he says, you know what, I'm going to turn it around, and the influence that I have on the youth, I'm going to use it to teach them how to love a woman properly, how to get money legally, how to walk with their head held high and self-esteem, how to be somebody that can be of service to the community. So his journey is one that we showcase on the first episode, and I think it's a wonderful episode. I'm very proud to be a part of it and to showcase that to the world. On the webisode, we follow DeMario to Louisville, Kentucky. We see him doing something that really took him to another level. He got to present at Rumble, Young Man Rumble, to a room full of his younger brothers. And so for somebody like that, for us to be able to provide an opportunity for him to see himself in this light was a wonderful opportunity that we were able to capture on film, and that's going to be the webisode. So I think that 2017, we have a lot to look forward to, and that's going to be the Journey to Radiance, the podcast, and the webisode. We have a lot of exciting guests that we're going to bring on. We have a lot of interesting topics that we're going to dive into, and really a lot of strategies and techniques that we can use for ourselves and our families, our organizations, and our communities.
Wow, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Adimu. That amazing. I'm really excited. I just heard the first episode, and I'm so proud of it myself, and the amazing work that you brought and how you took the concept and just really grew it. So I just want to thank you for that. And I want to let everyone know that you can check out the Journey to Radiance song. We have that on a link. It's www.bit.ly/CBMA Radiant. And the CBMA is capitalized. We will send that out to you in a link. And then you'll also be able to check out the first episode of the podcast. So thank you again, Adimu.
Can I just say something real quick, too?
Sure.
Dr.
Sure.
Phyllis, I just want to give credit to the wonderful team that is a lot of times that go unnoticed, that help bring this to light, and that's the wonderful people at Nexus Audio in Oakland, California,
oh, yes.
To an amazing, amazing singer, Rashida Chase, who was able to take these magical words, these uplifting, healing words that Dr. Phyllis wrote and put her voice and her touch and her ashe on it to bring forth a real healing sound, to the wonderful musicians that came together to create the beat, and this was a wonderful project that I had an opportunity to co-write with Dr. Phyllis, and for us to be able to sit back. And, you know, one of the first things Dr. Phyllis told me was, you know what, I write all these things down, and I just don't have a way to get it out to the people. And, you know, Spirit has given me the opportunity to be able to do that. You know, one of the mm-hmm. most famous quotes that I always speak on is Che Guevara saying, we can't have a revolution without the press. So it's really imperative for us that are working in this field to have our ears to the arts and to see what type of messages and healing techniques and strategies we can infuse in this art so that we can combat mm-hmm. a lot of the negative art and negative portrayal of black males and black females and black families. And we have to start combating that through the art, because they're really capturing a lot of the minds and reprogramming them through this negative art, through this self-hatred that is being promoted
right.
to the art. So this mm-hmm. song was a beautiful opportunity for us to do that, and so I hope everybody enjoys it and play it for your children. It's something that you can sing together. My children sing it. They know all the lyrics. They love it, and I want everybody to really start getting in the mindset of it's going to be up to us to really start promoting the techniques, the healing that we want to see,
right.
you know, and so
absolutely.
Give thanks for that and enjoy it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you again, Adimu. Okay, so we're going to move on to the mentor's mentor. You know, everybody on this call I could sit and listen to forever, and especially Dr. Wyatt. I love me some Reverend Alfonso Wyatt. And so for those of you who don't know him, for the two people on the planet that don't know him, he is an elder on the ministerial staff of the Greater Allen AME Cathedral of New York. Reverend Dr. Wyatt's responsibilities include heading the support ministry to the unemployed, designing and facilitating innovative workshops and seminars for men, ordained and lay leaders, youth ministries, singles, and marriage enrichment. He's retired as the vice president of the Fund for the City of New York after serving for two decades, strengthening faith-based and secular youth-serving organizations and working with local and international government. He's the founder of Strategic Destiny, Designing Futures Through Faith and Facts. And Strategic Destiny seeks to find common language and collaborative opportunities with socially engaged practitioners motivated by faith and secular practitioners motivated by evidence-based learning. And I could go on for about another 3 hours talking about the amazing Rev White, but I want you to hear from him yourself. So, Rev, are you on?
I'm on. Focus.
You're on. You're on.
Intention. Yes, yes, yes. Intonation.
I love it. Oh,
yes.
Thank you. I'm so happy, you're here. Just hearing your voice makes me smile. You know, you recently sent me an empowering article titled Fracture Critical, and we're going to send that out as well. And I was so jazzed when I read it. I just was determined that we would get it out to the people at some point. So could you explain to me what is Fracture Critical, and what prompted you to write this powerful article?
Thank you.
I was out in Oakland, and we did a Triumph Over Tragedy session with some very strong people, some very honest people. So I'm back, and anybody from the East Coast will know about this. I don't know how it works from west to east, but I woke up. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning, Pacific Coast time, standard time. And I was like, wow, I'm not sleepy. I'm up. So I turned on the television, and I saw Engineering Disasters. I love this this particular show. And they used the term about a bridge that had collapsed. Actually, it was in Minneapolis that fell in the Mississippi River. And they used the term fracture critical. And I never heard this term. And as soon as I could, I looked it up. And it basically says that a fracture critical is when a piece that supports another piece is damaged, and through that damage, it could lead to a collapse of a section or a whole bridge. So I took the concept of fracture critical and applied it to the election. It was the day after, and I was talking about the bridge that we all had to cross, our ancestors crossed, the social justice bridge, and use that as a metaphor, and to say that there are parts of this bridge that are damaged, and that if we're not careful, it could collapse. So I looked at several fracture critical components. And one of them had to do with leadership. And there is a gap between an intergenerational gap that just didn't happen today, but has been going on throughout history, where the younger generation, the older generation, looks askance upon each other in ways that create suspicion and a breach, if you will. And if we're going to have this bridge adjusted, it is going to have to be through the leadership of people and through the leadership of folk who understand that there's a difference between a strategy and a tactic. A strategy is when you have a plan. A tactic you use when you don't have a plan. And sometimes those two are used interchangeably when they are different. Now, there is a fracture critical part in terms of the school to pipeline, school to prison pipeline, that we have to be concerned about education. Most of the folk who are on this phone, education has been the fulcrum, I like that word that was used earlier, that helped catapult you and your family out of poverty to a whole nother reality. We must make sure that our schools are strong. And then we have to look at the fracture critical relationships. And I don't want to just go through the whole piece because you're going to read it. Where I ended up is that we need surveyors for this bridge. Those are our researchers, our policymakers. We need repairers of the bridge. Those are our direct service workers. And looking at a bridge, the Edmund Pettus Bridge, and looking at the feet and the people that walked over that bridge into sheer pandemonium, but they marched anyway, and while they marched, they sang, "We ain't gonna let nobody turn me around, turn us around." And you know what? We need to get to singing. We need to get to marching. We need to get to building. We need to get to repairing. We've been a people who are acquainted with grief, who have been buked and scorned. So whatever comes down is not new, but a continuation. But it is in our DNA. It is in our mitzvah kanda. It is inside of us the power to be resilient. And you know what, beloved? We will make the bridge strong again. And we will triumph over tragedy. So I thank you for this opportunity to minister and to speak to the Spirit and speak to light, regardless to in terms of what you believe in. My hope is that whatever you believe in is able to keep you from falling, is able to lift you up, it's able to re-energize you so that you can shine light in the darkest of places. Just a little bit of light can run back a whole lot of darkness. So on that note, I'm going to power down. I'm going to pull in, but I'm going to keep on giving out.
Well, don't go nowhere yet, because you know I got one more thing for you to do, Rev. But thank you so much for dropping the mic once again. These poor mics just have no hope around you. So thank you. And I want to be respectful for everyone's time, so we just have just a couple of minutes. If you can hang on, if you have to go, I understand. But I wanted to end with a quick breathing exercise and an affirmative prayer from Rev Wyatt. And so as our health and healing call comes to a close, I'd like to take just a few moments to ground and center us for the holidays, or as I like to call them, the holy days. And as Brandon says, as he said earlier, before we can change conditions out there, we have to take care of ourselves. So if I have $5, I can't give you 10. It's just not possible. It's important for us to give from our excess instead of our essence. And that's important, to give from our excess instead of our essence. And with that in mind, I want to share one last health and healing strategy in two parts, which is connected to the breathing exercise. Amen. The first health and healing strategy is this. One of the best seeds you can plant right now is to commit to avoiding knee-jerk reactions. And so if you can act instead of reacting, you will respond in a way that serves your highest good. The only way to get really good at this is to practice every day. And here's a strategy that you can do. If you remember, breathe, pause, speak, and breathe, pause, act. What this means is that before you speak or before you act, just take a moment to take a slow, deep breath in and out, and then pause before you speak or act. And if you do this regularly, when the big stress hits, and it will hit for sure, you will be ready to make the choice that serves your highest good. So everyone that's still on the call, let's just take a moment to practice very briefly, and then Rev will lead us into an affirmative prayer. So we can begin by sitting up straight and planting our feet on the ground and very slowly pulling our shoulders up, back, and down, and just relax into the moment. And as we do, just notice all the sounds that are around us. See if you can notice what's around you without interacting. Maybe you hear sounds outside, or maybe you notice the thoughts that you're having in your head. Can you hear or pay attention to the thoughts, know that they're there without engaging in them? If you imagine that you're sitting along a riverbank and you see boats floating by, some may be speedboats or tugboats, imagine that your thoughts are like these boats. They come and go, but you stay right where you are, just passively watching them come and go. And as you do that, breathing slowly and deeply in and out, now bring your attention inside and notice your breathing without interfering. And just watch as you're looking through the lens, as like you're looking through the lens of a camera. And as you breathe in, you notice that your belly expands out. As you exhale, the belly moves inward towards the spine. There's no need to force it, just gently and slowly watching the belly as it expands out. You breathe in, and as you exhale, the belly moves in towards the spine. Just watch the breath as it flows in and out. And as you continue to breathe slowly and deeply in and out, I'm going to ask the good Rev Wyatt to close out our call with an affirmative prayer.
The best you ever seen is going to happen in 2017. That's a seed to plant in your spirit. Mm. And as it is planted in the spirit, as it delves into the darkness of one's being, because the power of a seed is that it must disappear. It must die, in essence, in order to live. So now we pray for the opportunity to let some things die, things that no longer serve us, things that no longer define us. And now I want to offer these words from one of my books, Soul Be Free, as our closing message. It's dedicated to you. Children of the light, heed this urgent call. Use thine power over darkness. Stumble, never fall. Illume dark corners in all hearts and minds. Share the precious flame, the tie that binds. Hatred is thine enemy, and ignorance another foe. So band together small flames wherever ye may go. There is strength and number. Remember, ye are light, and every flicker is a wound to darkness. This our eternal fight. Rumble, fight, lift, reflect, rest, love, pray, protect. I wish I could do it again. 2017, it's going to be the best you've ever seen. Peace, bless you, deuces. Out of here.
Oh, my goodness. Dropping the mic every which way you go. Thank you so much, Rev. And thank you, everyone, for joining on the call. Thank you to the CBMA team and for all of the people that joined in on the call, Brandon and Denise Zulu, Adimu, and Rev Wyatt. I just want to thank you all, and I wish you the best for 2017, and remember that this call is going to be recorded. Feel free to send it to everyone, and you can find the information on our webpage on Facebook and on our website, www.theblackveilachievement.org. So thank you, everyone, and have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the week.
Bless you. Take care. God bless everybody.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye, everyone.